Blog Talk Radio.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Well, good evening around the world. We're going to have another beautiful Eucharistic miracle from the love of a holy God to keep bringing us things. Keep bringing us things that are bringing us closer to the good Lord for eternity. The miraculous things that hopefully will bring a supernatural faith back to our fellow Catholics. And talking about a supernatural faith, you know, I didn't know anyone in New Jersey had a supernatural faith until I met Mike on our radio program. Mike is a warrior for the Catholic Church, and everybody has different gifts, and I thank God that he does. Mike, how are you tonight?
Doing fantastic, my friend. How are you doing?
Oh, better than wonderful, brother. Better than wonderful.
Looking forward to where we're going tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we got our ringleader with us most every time, not 100%. Once in a while, he may have to work or something, but not the overwhelming majority of the time. Donald, who really has kept the Deeper Truth Blog Talk radio and alive and up and running, and has been with us, I've been with you, 10 or 11 years, Donald, somewhere in there?
It seems, yeah, it was 2005, I think July 2005, and
yeah,
I don't do math very well,
go ahead.
Well, you know, right now, this coming Friday, John is going to be leading a show, the whole thing about the faith blaster. And truth is what's going to be the lineup for that, which, you know, truth is mentioned in the New Testament 118 times and is mentioned another 25 times. Well, it's mentioned 25 times in the Gospel of John. And most notably, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And why I present that here, first of all, just because it's kind of a plug for the show on Friday, but also because, Greg, that's what all of our shows are focused on. And that's exactly what it's about as far as aiming high. Everything that we do is based on the truth of the Catholic Church. And these Eucharistic miracles, they are fantastic. And when people hear these, it does a lot in certifying, encouraging, I can't see any weak reasons why we should be promoting these, like what we're doing here tonight. You agree?
Oh, absolutely, Don. And once the good Lord puts that in your path, I think it's another one of those things when people have different gifts and the good Lord uses them and you say yes to him, I think we have to use those gifts until we die, you know, and keep trying to ask the Holy Spirit and Our Lady to keep improving our gifts and keep us in the truth while giving us ever more people to put it out before and touch their lives for eternity. So Satan's doing his thing 24/7, and we've got to battle that as much as we can at every breathing moment. So anyway, I thank you for the opportunity, Don. We didn't get this opportunity if it hadn't been for the good Lord and his mother working through you. I remember talking to the team after the bishop and priest asked me to, after our first Marian Conference, asked me if I'd form a Marian Association and direct it. And I said I would if they'd get me 10 or 12 people that are consecrated to the Jesus through the Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I told them that night, what we're going to do is going to, what we're starting here tonight is going to be touching people around the world. And, you know, as we've gone a lot of places around the country and everything, but this vehicle that you gave us to be a part of our lives, Don, is given at least the opportunity for people around the world to be touched. And that's just a prayerful thing that having this vehicle, you know, can touch a lot of lives that we can't touch in our flesh. You know, even though we both, all three of us know people that the other two don't, we still don't have those people that are out there that can pick up a Blog Talk Radio program and hear a Eucharistic miracle that can knock their socks off, you know. And so thank you for that, Don.
And I think on Blog Talk Radio, I think that we are the only solid Catholic outlet out there. Before you get on to it, I got some people here. We got Judy Altheator from the great state of Texas, and in fact, here at Deeper Truth, we refer to her as Miss Texas. How you doing there, Judy?
Hello, guys.
Oh, you sound like you got your, I guess
allergies.
It's that time of the year.
Yeah, it's allergies. It's always that time of year for me, Donald. It never goes away.
Oh, my goodness. And we got Kathy from the great state of Missouri, in Bourbon. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Donald. Hi, Judy. Hi, Gregory.
Hi, Kathy.
You sound better than I do, Kathy. You help with the reading, okay? I sound like a frog.
Do you have the reading with you there? Do you have the reading?
Donald, I'm going to have to help you right now, Donald. When you say Missouri. Say it with a little more respect, please.
Oh, did I not say misery?
I thought
when
I
you say
misery.
When you
mention
Missouri, just say it with a little more respect.
Oh, that's funny. And we got John the Virginian that's here as well. Hey, John, how you doing tonight, brother?
Doing good. Looking forward to Friday's show. I mean, truth is in our name. It's what we're about.
It is our name.
Since the beginning.
Yep.
And just a little preview, I want to focus on two things on Friday. Number one is the objective truth that we have to believe, what our church teaches. But number two, which is just as important, is being true to ourselves, admitting the truth about ourselves to ourselves, so that we can make the corrections that we need to make. And I think both are important.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. All right, there, Greg. That brings everybody on. How do you want to? Where do you want to go? How do you want to go first? How do you? What you want to do, brother?
I'm gonna. Let's do it this way. Tonight, I'm gonna go ahead and read the monologue coming into it.
Okay.
Just because I think people out there need to hear different aspects that hopefully the Holy Spirit can help them with that. And then Kathy, since you got a prettier voice than all of us guys, if you'll take the first miracle and the miracle, and then we'll have at the end, if into the miracle, between the miracle and the what happened with the children of Fatima with the angel of Portugal, we'll have someone else take over there. Okay. But
okay.
So everyone, God bless you. Thank you for being a part, and quite a team we have here. Good Lord has blessed us with that. And so I'm just going to, you know, being true to ourselves, that's what I was trying to be with my heart to start this. When John said that, I just felt like, well, that's, I need to just bring that in, because we have had several times when the real presence has been doubted by priests over the centuries. So don't be hard on yourself if that has happened to any degree in your own life. But know that a holy God will give you ways to strengthen your faith and not leave you an orphan of the truth. First, have faith and trust in Jesus as the saints have done, and he will give you the grace to see his hand in the miracles that are happening every day. Start searching for the many Eucharistic miracles that science now tests to such a degree you will have to be in awe, or you will be in awe of what has been found, and ignite in you a passion to start a fire for the Lord in the hearts and souls of those God puts into your life. Call me if you are ever down and out over things going on in the world around you, because we have a miracle working God that loves you more than anyone with a supernatural love. You know, God bless everyone out there, and we're going to start on the Eucharistic miracle that was in a little village in Austria. Kathy, you want to start us?
Yeah. The little village of St. Georgenberg Spike in the Inn Valley is very well known, especially because of Eucharistic miracle that took place there in 1310. During the Mass, the priest was seized with temptations regarding the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated elements. Right after the consecration, the wine changed into blood and began to boil and overflow the chalice. In 1480, after 170 years, the sacred blood was still fresh as though coming out of a wound, wrote the chronicler of those days. The precious blood is preserved intact to this day and is contained in the reliquary in the monastery of St. Georgenberg. Near the side altar of the monastery church, there is a documentary tablet that says, in the year of grace 1310, under Abbot Rupert, a priest was celebrating Holy Mass in this church dedicated to the Holy Martyr George and the Holy Apostle James. After consecrating the wine, he was seized with doubt as to whether the blood of Christ was really present under the species of wine. Suddenly, the wine changed into red blood that began to boil in the chalice and overflow it. The abbot and his monks, who happened to be in the choir, and the numerous pilgrims who were present at the celebration, approached the altar and realized what had happened. The priest, terrified, was unable to drink all the holy blood, and so the abbot placed the remainder in a vessel in the tabernacle of the main altar near the cloth with which the chalice was wiped. As soon as news of this miraculous event began to spread, more and more pilgrims began to arrive to adore the sacred blood. So great was the number of the devotees of the holy blood that in 1472, Bishop George von Brixen sent the abbot of Wilton, Johannes Loesch, and the pastors Sigmund Thauer and Caspar of Absam to better study the phenomenon. As a result of this investigation, the adoration of the Blessed Blood was encouraged and the miracle was declared authentic. Among the devotees were important church personalities like John, Bishop of Trieste, George, Bishop of Brixen, Rupert, Archbishop of Cologne, and Duke of Bavaria, and Frederick, Bishop of Chiemsee. A second documentary tablet recounts how the relic of the Holy Blood helped preserve the Catholic faith during the Protestant Schism. When in 1593 the teachings of Luther were spreading everywhere in Tyrol, the monks of St. Georgenburg were asked to preach the faith everywhere. Abbot Michael Geiser was preaching with great success before a large crowd in the parish church of Schwaz and did not hesitate to recall the holy miracle of the blood as proof of the existence of the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. He was disputing in such a convincing way that the adversaries were obliged to leave the scene. This total victory against the false teachings was regarded by the believers. Special grace the Lord was granting his faithful, the adorers of the precious blood.
Wow.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
That is so important. Why we must, apologetics is so much an important piece to all of this. Notice that they utilize this miracle to refute the heresies of the Protestants. Oh, my. I want to get John. What do you think about that and what we've done? John? John Binko, are you there?
Sorry, I had to step away for a minute.
Oh. Well,
sorry about that.
Using these miracles as a way to refute Protestantism, which is what they were doing here in this miracle here, which was successful in bringing many people back or keeping people in. I think that's exactly what Deeper Truth is all about.
Well, yeah, I mean, we showed that a few weeks ago with the miracle of Nicole Aubrey. I mean, that was pretty clear cut.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. The miracle of Nicole Aubrey, same thing.
Exactly. What did you think of this, Mike?
It's another example of God pulling back the veil from between the natural and the supernatural and giving us a glimpse of the, hey, this is for real.
It is for
absolutely.
Real.
Yeah. You know, and I just going to mention each of you, men and women, have been a part of my life, strengthening my faith to be able to as I've watched or listened to John and Donald debate, you know, and use their gifts for many years, and where they would be so convincing to the public, you know, some of the their adversaries would continue to lie to themselves, but many of them had to stop and take a look at you know, their own beliefs. You know, it's it does adversaries. It says in this one we're obliged to leave the scene. You know, and I think that if we know our faith, you know, and then rely on the Holy Spirit to bring that truth to us whenever we're confronted. I've seen it happen, you know, with others like John and Donald, but I've also got to the pleasant grace to experience it, you know, in my own life with those that have become their own interpreters of scripture, I guess, and it usually puts them running for sure, like you say. So it's not the first time we've heard of it. Anyone can be even Paul was afraid of it in some of his writings, where he just wanted to make sure he didn't fall, like he was possible that he could fall, and you say, how in the world could Paul fall, you know, or some of the ones that were great saints. But you know, I think we have to have a constant awareness that Satan is smarter than we are. You know, we could die at any time to flee from all evil and not give him a foothold in any way. And then be able to say, I ran the race, you know, did all we could. So anyway, thank each of you. God bless you.
We got Terry from Texas that popped on. How are you doing there tonight, Terry?
Oh, pretty good, sir, pretty good.
Outstanding. And Eucharistic miracles, in fact, tonight was being debated or to show that the Catholic Church has the real, it is the real, it is the Church of the New Testament. It is that historic church that Christ gave that authority to. And all the signs and everything, all the wonder that goes with it is authentic. You know, these miracles are really important to us. Judy, what do you think about all this?
Well, it fascinates me that so many times it seems doubt is what brings about these miracles, in a sense, that God wants to continually prove to us that everything that we believe is real. As y'all was saying before, that there really shouldn't be any doubt. And yet I think it's a human weakness to doubt, because sometimes it's just hard to believe in this kind of glorious thing, because our minds are finite and we have a very limited ability to really comprehend the supernatural. So doubt sets in. And I think doubt too is caused by fear. Sometimes I think people are afraid to believe that this is real, because maybe they're living in sin and they know it and they don't want to change their ways, or they're just, they haven't been educated enough in the truth of the faith. But God is continually, I think, showing us that what we believe as Catholics is real. It's the real deal. There's no fakery here, folks.
The miracle, and I love what you're talking about there, Judy. You go all the way back to the apostles. At the commissioning of the apostles, you go to Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. But they doubted. Then Jesus approached them and said to them, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. John, would you consider that the Eucharistic presence of our Lord is a fulfillment of that passage right there? And behold, I am with you always.
It absolutely is, and I want to respond to what Greg was saying. Yes, he's right. We have had a number of debates on deeper truth, and they were one-sided. But me and you, Donald, have talked about this. I can be the greatest poker player in the world or the worst poker player in the world. It really doesn't matter. When I'm sitting there holding four aces, It doesn't matter what the other guy has. I know I've got him beat. I don't have to be the best poker player in the world to know I've got the one in hand. And that's what we have with the Catholic Church. We have the winning hand. So all we have to do is learn to understand it, learn to articulate it. We can't lose. Think of what a blessing it is. Our Friday show is going to be about truth. Think of what a blessing it is. We don't have to guess what the truth is. We don't have to take the sola scriptura approach and try and figure it out ourselves based on our own intelligence. We have a church that's already revealed it to us. All we have to do is take what they've handed us and go forward. What a blessing. It's an amazing blessing. And, you know, I've heard saints say this so many times, but it's so true it's worth repeating. We don't see so that we can believe. We believe so we can see. The faith has to come first.
Amen. I definitely agree to that 100%. Do you agree with that there, Mike? That you have to, like what Terry would say, you're too blessed to be stressed. Do you agree with what John was saying there?
Oh, absolutely. I think, like you say, the faith has to come first. But I wonder if there are as many Eucharistic miracles going around today in this day and age. Because you hear people, they second guess how it was done. Oh, it was Hollywood special effects. He knew somebody in special effects in Hollywood, or something of that nature. And you look at that, and people are trying to explain it with a natural. With a natural tug, whether they use astral projection, they use some kind of trick that Hollywood dreamed up, or something of that nature.
You bring up an important part, right there. You bring up a very important part there. Humanism is result of that, or the cause of that. I think humanism.
Well, years ago, back in the 40s and before that, you had people wanting to live morally, and morally was defined by the church. That famous movie, the Babe Ruth story, Babe Ruth said suing baseball would be like suing the church. In other words, unthinkable. Now the church is sued every day. And not only that, but what is sacred today, what determines whether something is moral or not is, does it make money?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Look all around. Money has become the new God.
Go ahead there,
Terry.
Go for it.
So I pray for physical manifestation of the miracle of the Eucharist. I pray every time I go to Mass for it. But the miracle is there, and we as Catholics, on a spiritual level, the angels and the saints, they're all around us singing holy, holy, holy with us. The miracle is there at every Mass around the world. Now, I agree with what the brother's saying, that our morals have dropped to an all-time low. I just seen a YouTube video of the lesbian mayor of Chicago who has never been Catholic. She went to a funeral mass and received the communion from Cardinal Supich.
Oh.
So, yeah, we're not... the church as a whole is, not us as individuals, but the church. We're not given the correct reverence that God, the creator of the universe, deserves. One guy said, you know, he was a Protestant, and he was talking to a Catholic, and he says, do you really believe that Jesus Christ? And the guy said, yes, of course I do. And the guy said, well, then you're not living your faith. He said, what do you mean? He said, man, if I thought that was Jesus Christ, I'd be there all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean,
I understand.
The picture that we're not. So me, myself, I mean, I just got banned from Facebook for 7 days. Anytime somebody brings the opposition to me about sin is acceptable, no matter what you call it, whether it be murder, homosexual, any kind of sin, and they try to make it like it's okay, you know, I'm going to argue against it 100%, you know. And when I go to church and I'm about to receive the Eucharist, I mean, I've got to focus on the tabernacle and not look around, because, I mean, the pride within me, it'll mess up my mental state to where even though I'm not in a state of mortal sin, maybe I shouldn't receive, you know, because I'm judging this guy over here that's in shorts, tank tops, and flip-flops, you know. So I try to keep my eyes focused the whole time on the tabernacle and on the consecration and what's happening at the altar, you know.
And what's happening at the altar. So you're saying that this lesbian mayor, who is not even, I mean, not even a projection of anything holy, goes up and
right.
receives a valid Eucharist.
Yeah, I've seen it on the Taylor Marshall program earlier.
That
yes, I
is,
thought too.
You saw
and
too?
And the thing Taylor Marshall said about it was that it was no last-minute decision, that these politicians don't do anything like that unplanned, that they absolutely had their people call ahead and say that this was going to happen because they don't want any, you know, public things that would influence
yeah.
them. So it's absolutely planned.
Yeah.
That is just, to me, that is a heartbreak. We know what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't understand it. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily, and what does that mean, unworthily? That would be referring to someone who's living in sin, in rebellion. Well, they would have
answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Donald, she's not Catholic, so.
I know.
I mean, not trying to play devil's advocate or nothing, but she is completely ignorant of what she just did. Cardinal Supich, on the other hand, is not.
Yeah. I mean it's just the whole thing. I can't, it's hard for me to fathom that. It really upsetting. It's something that it's a sacrilege. It's a scandal. And
yes,
and when
yes,
I hear
yes,
hey guys,
and, yeah,
can y'all
go
hear
ahead,
me,
Judy? Yeah, I hear you.
Look, we know that Satan has been out to destroy the Catholic Church from the very beginning. I mean, he tried to tempt Jesus himself, right? He tried to make Jesus sin.
True.
The thing that we have to remember and hang on to is that no matter how much stuff is going on in the church, no matter how much wrongdoing that we are seeing, we have to stay strong in faith.
Amen.
And cling to Christ, cling to the Catholic faith. Jesus did not promise us a church filled with saints all the time. He didn't promise us a church that would be perfect all throughout history. No, he promised us a church against which the gates of hell will not prevail. That's what he promised us. And he promised he would be right there with us till the end of the age. And why did Jesus give us a church in the first place? Because he knew that in spite of his sacrifice for us, that people were still gonna sin. All you got to do is read a little bit of history, and you know that our history is written in blood and sin. And that's why we have the church. And when we see our leaders doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing, that's when we have to be even stronger. Like Archbishop Sheen said, don't look to the bishops to save the church. We've got to save it. We have to make sure our priests act like priests and our bishops act like bishops. It's up to us. We have to do it. We can't depend on a pope. We can't depend on bishops. We can't depend on priests or nuns. It has to come from us. It has to come from us. No matter, if the priest in your parish turns against you, which happened to me, you've got to stand up for what you know is right. You have to. You absolutely have to. Otherwise, what's the point? What is the point?
Well, that is. And I think that heaven has a lot to say about this. Greg, do you happen to have this? Judy, I tell you what, whatever the issue you had when you started off the show with us tonight, you sound pretty strong now. Can you go ahead and do the second half of this reading that we got?
Yeah, I will read as much as I can, okay?
Okay.
All right. Angel of Portugal, three times in 1916. The angel appeared three times to the shepherds of Fatima in order to prepare them for future apparitions of Our Lady and elevate them to a supernatural state with Holy Communion. During the third apparition, the angel gave Lucy Holy Communion with a host from which drops of blood fell into the chalice. Francesco and Jacinta, not having yet made their first Holy Communion, were given the contents of the chalice. In this apparition, the angel told them, "Eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ." Terribly outraged by the ingratitude of men, offer reparation for their sakes and console your God. The first apparition of the angel. We began to see in the distance a light, whiter than snow, in the form of a young man, quite transparent and as brilliant as crystal in the rays of the sun. As he came near, we were able to see his features, a young man about 14 or 15 years, and very beautiful. We were surprised and taken aback. We did not say a word. He reached us and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the angel of peace. Pray with me." He knelt, bending his forehead to the ground. With a supernatural impulse, we did the same, repeating the words we heard him say, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Pray in this way. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to your prayers." And he disappeared. The supernatural atmosphere that he left us in was so intense, we were, for a long time, unaware of our own existence. I can relate to that. Second apparition of the angel. The angel said to us, "What are you doing? You must pray. Pray a lot. The hearts of Jesus and Mary have merciful designs for you. You must constantly offer your prayers and sacrifices to God, the Most High." "How are we to sacrifice?" I asked. "In every possible way, offer sacrifice to God in reparation for the sins by which he is offended and in supplication for the conversion of sinners. In this way, you will bring peace to your country. I am the guardian angel of Portugal. Above all, bear and accept with submission the sufferings God will send you." And he disappeared. These words of the angel cut into our spirits like a light, making us understand who God is, how he loves us, and how he wants us to love him, the value of sacrifice and how it pleases him, how he receives it for the conversion of sinners. The third apparition of the angel. In the beginning of the fall of 1916, the children were back at Sabeso. The angel appeared for a third time. Sister Lucia gave the following account. As soon as we arrived there, we began to say the angel's prayer on our knees, with our faces to the ground. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I do not know how many times we had said this prayer when we saw an unknown light shining over our heads. We rose to see what was happening, and we saw the angel bearing a chalice in his left hand. Drops of blood fell into the chalice from a host suspended over it. Leaving the chalice and the host suspended in the air, the angel prostrated himself beside us and said the following prayer three times. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I adore thee profoundly and offer thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the earth, in reparation for the insults, sacrileges, and indifference with which he is offended. And through the infinite merit of his most sacred heart and of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg thee for the conversion of poor sinners. After this rising up, he again took the chalice and the host in his hand. He gave the host to me and the contents of the chalice to Jacinta and Francisco to drink, saying, take and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, who is horribly insulted by ungrateful men. Make reparation for their crimes and console your God. He again prostrated himself on the ground and repeated with us the same prayer three more times. Most Holy Trinity. Then he disappeared. This last experience had such a great impact on the children that they remained a great while prostrated on the ground, repeating the angel's prayer. So exhausted were the children that Sister Lucia would later state, it seemed to deprive us even of the use of our bodily senses for a long period of time. Despite how the children were affected by this supernatural experience that would literally prepare them for the future coming of Our Lady, the Virgin Mary of Fatima, beginning in May 1917, the children felt great peace and happiness, fully immersed in the presence of our Lord.
Greg, that story is profound. When you read and see the story enacted here that Judy just read, don't you think that that touches the heart of anybody that is listening to that?
Yeah, I just think it gives more depth even to Our Lady coming, which was the most outside of what happened with the good Lord, to me is the most profound happening in the history of the church when she came to Fatima. And what a beautiful way to prepare the children by having an angel come. And the prayers that we say as a result of that angelic happening, we can say every day, you know. Usually when I finish the decades of the rosary, I usually try to say, before I say the Hail Holy Queen, I usually try to say the, oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you. And I beg your pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. And I think we have an opportunity every day, and you all are servant spiritual warriors that pray daily and pray Our Lady's Rosary. And all of it connects. Beautiful story tonight, Donald.
Oh, it most certainly is. John, what did you think about that reading there with the, about the angel of Portugal?
It's so powerful. And the first thing you want to do is when you hear some of these people say that, oh, this is all about Mary worship. This is the Catholics are promoting a false Mary, a Mary that's being worshipped in the place of Jesus. And you just want to reach out and smack them because this is all about Jesus. This is all about the Eucharist. It's all about God, and Mary is acting as a messenger in a larger role than the angel Gabriel, but basically in the same role. She's presenting us Jesus. And the interesting thing about the angel's prayer, when you think about it, there's the three cardinal virtues. I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. Faith, hope, love. The three cardinal virtues of our faith, right there in one prayer. So anyone that can look at this and say, oh, this is all about Mary, I think Mary would disagree with that.
I definitely agree with you there. Kathy, what do you think about what John just said? I love what John just said. What do you think?
Yeah, I think everything revolves around Mary, really. Jesus certainly did. Well, she revolved around
think
him,
about
but...
that.
Yeah.
When we honor Mary, aren't we just imitating Jesus? Wouldn't you say that's what we're doing here, Kathy? We're honoring
Mary. We're supposed
Mary.
To honor, we're, honor our mother and father, you know, and he did so perfectly, and he certainly would want us to honor his mother. And those who will not have Mary for their mother will not have Jesus as their brother.
Hey, that's true. That is a very important truth. Terry, as far as this is going, you and your family, you started as praying the rosary as a family. Can you tell us, can you see that there's any kind of growth happening there, or is it just kind of, you're kind of a wait and see attitude about it?
You know, I'm sure there's some spiritual growth going on, and just listening to Judy, you've got a beautiful voice. The way you read is awesome. And when she was reading, and when she was reading that, it kind of put an exclamation mark on what she was saying before she started reading. You know, offer sacrifices for those who don't hope, for those who don't believe, you know. Offer reparation for the sinners, and I was particularly in listening when she said, when the angel announced himself as the angel of Portugal, and I've never thought of that before. I'm sure America has an angel too, and I am going to start asking him to pray for us.
Amen.
And each of us has an angel. You know, we each have our
own
guardian angel.
And Troy, Terry knows about his guardian angel. He's got a date coming along. He's got a date. Oh, but I think that's going to be a joyful date, I think, actually, to be honest. Mike, what do you think about all this that we're talking about here, about the angel of Portugal and the vision to the three children, and which is preparing them for Mary's coming.
Kathy?
And
Kathy?
What do you think of this?
All right. Kathy?
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question. If someone prays you in the presence of your son, how would that make him feel?
I think it would make him feel proud that he was my son. And
that's right.
I think
I rest my case.
Pleasing.
I rest my case. When you praise Mary, you're praising her son at the same time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I know, Greg, you say that all the time, basically. You know, Greg?
I try, yes.
Yeah. So all of this.
To Jesus through Mary, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that has become stronger and stronger and stronger within my devotion. I mean, I've had a strong devotion for all my life, well, at least until, I mean, since my reconversion, I should say, back in 1978. But since then, I feel like I'm just continually growing. And I think that's where I'm trying not to stagnate, but I'm trying to always continue to move forward. And that's a lifetime adventure. It is a lifetime adventure. And everybody here on Deeper Truth, past, present, and I'll even say future, I am so thankful for all the participation and people of goodwill who loves our Lord and has so much to share. And I hope that through all of this, everybody is gaining something out of all this. Would you agree to that, John?
Oh, Donald, there's no question. I mean, I was just going to say this a few minutes ago when Judy was talking about how we have to be strong and we have because of everything that's happening and everything that we're facing. And the main reason why I'm able to do that is because of you guys, because of Deeper Truth, because of Donald, because of Greg, because of Judy, because of Kathy, because of Mike, because of Terry, because of you know, all the others, Tom, Joseph. It's us together, the strength that we draw from each other, that allows us to continue to go into battle. And I'm hearing a lot of feedback. Am I the only one that's hearing that?
I'm hearing it. I'm just not sure.
Yeah, I'm hearing it too.
I don't know where it's coming from. But, yeah, I mean, these shows and the things that we do, I draw so much strength from that. It helps me through my week. It helps me through my month, especially, I mean, the things that are going on in the world are scary right now. It's absolutely scary. It's absolutely terrifying. I mean, we're faced with the prospect that we've lost our country. The system is fixed and we can't get it back. That's how things look right now. And it's very, very easy to become discouraged, to become despondent, then when we hear Eucharistic miracle stories like this, then we realize who's on our side. And whoever's against us, if it's just us five and God, we're in a majority. Whoever's against us is on the minority side, on the losing side.
Hey, guys.
That's awesome. Go
guys?
For it, Judy.
I don't know how many of you guys might have seen the movie South Pacific, but there's a scene where Mitzi Gaynor sings this little ditty, Cockeyed Optimist. And it's kind of Pollyanna-ish, but that's what we have to be. We have to be cockeyed optimists for Jesus. We have to be fools for Jesus. Let the world laugh at us. Let them. Let them laugh. Let them mock. Let them scorn. Let them threaten. Let them do all the stuff that they want to do to us.
I'll just say this, Judy.
We still have to be strong. We still have to be strong and not give in and not give up.
Yep. You're so right, Judy. I'll just say one thing. They laughed at Noah, too, until the rain started coming down.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I used to have a bumper sticker on my car that says, "I'm a fool for Christ. Who's fool of you?"
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. We have to be fools for Jesus. That's right. That's exactly right.
Greg, we're getting at that point. I think now would be a good time if we get Judy to give. You got a poem, right?
Oh, of course. Actually, this is a brand new poem. The Lord gave it to me early this morning.
I was going to say, so what else is new?
Faith.
Go for it, Judy.
Truth. Faith, truth, and valor. Valor, truth, and faith. Let this be your mantra as you face the demon wraith. Once in a lifetime, a charge may come your way. So set your sights on heaven and heed what God will say. Faith in Christ, Redeemer. Truth in all you speak. Valor into battle as you defend the weak. Each of you, a knight errant, girded with the armor of God. The cross of Christ, your weapon. His blood that bless the sod. Faith, valor, and truth. Truth, faith, and valor. As you stand with Jesus, the Holy King and Savior.
I like that. You know that, John, that would be a great, once we get past the next 2 weeks, we got truth coming up, and then heart, you know, faith. You know, the next 2 weeks is going to be truth coming this Friday, and then the heart coming the following. I think valor would be a good one to tackle, because that's I love what how Judy put that together there. How
well, no. I did not put it together. God put it together. I just wrote it.
We stand corrected. I love the connection though, but they're all three connected. I mean, faith is seeing the truth. Truth is the objective truth is out there for us. Faith is being able to see the truth even when your eyes are telling you something different. And from that faith, we draw courage. I mean, all you got to look at is the apostles. Look at Peter before and after. Look at Peter before. He's running away scared. He's denying Jesus three times. But then look at the Peter who died upside down because he wasn't worthy to die the same way that Christ did. Look how boldly he spoke out against, the religious leaders on Pentecost. I mean, it's amazing how that fire of faith gives a person that courage. They draw that courage.
Amen.
From that faith.
Yes.
I think you're right about that 100%. Now, everything about tonight has been great. Greg, we are at that time. I think that, do you happen to have a prayer for dismissal for us?
Well, I think we have one within our program for sure. One that the angels told us tonight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I adore thee profoundly and offer thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the earth, in reparation for the insults, sacrileges, and indifference with which he is offended, and through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg thee for the conversion of poor sinners. That is an awesome prayer. It's almost like it came from heaven somewhere. Anyway,
yeah.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I love that, Greg. It's like it came from heaven somewhere.
Well, duh.
That's a good place for a prayer to originate.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think if you're gonna get a prayer for some place, heaven's a good place to start.
It's the only place to start.
Oh, I love you all. God bless everyone listening tonight. Share with your friends. Get this out there. All the small people that others don't. And so get it to all your loved ones and those God puts in your path. We'll see you next week, hopefully.
All right. I'm going to dedicate this song. I'm going to dedicate this song for John for the upcoming show on Friday. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. God bless you.
Good night.
The old man turned off the radio, said, where did all of the old songs go? Kids sure play funny music these days, and they play it in the strangest ways. Said, it looks to me like they've all gone wild. It was peaceful back when I was a child. Well, man, could it be that the girls and boys are trying to be heard above your noise? And the lonely voice of you cries, what is true? A little boy of three sitting on the floor looks up and says, Daddy, what is war? Son, that's when people fight and die. A little boy of three says, Daddy, why? Young man of 17 in Sunday school, being taught the golden rule. And by the time another year's gone around, it may be his turn to lay his life down. Can you blame the voice of you for asking what is true? Young man sitting on the witness stand, the man with the book says, raise your hand. Repeat after me, I solemnly swear. The man looked down at his long hair, and although the young man solemnly swore, nobody seemed to hear anymore. And it didn't really matter if the truth was there. It was the cut of his clothes and the length of his hair. And the lonely voice of you cries, what is true? Young girl dancing to the latest beat has found new ways to move her feet. A young man speaking in the city square is trying to tell somebody that he cares. Yeah, the ones that you're calling wild are gonna be the leaders in a little while. This old world's waking to a newborn day, and I solemnly swear that it'll be their way. You better help that voice of you find what is true. And the lonely voice of you cries, what is true?
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of the Catholic Defender, where we examine the truths of our faith and why we believe it. Our guest host tonight has been Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. It is our hope that after listening to this program, your faith is strengthened and you can truly say, I believe in miracles. Please be sure and join us next time when Dr. Thompson brings you an in-depth examination of a Eucharistic miracle, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.